Current state of the Philadelphia Phillies? It's not great. Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here on the Inside Baseball Network. I am your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. And as you can see, I am riding solo today. Drew is already out of town. And as a reminder, there will be no show tomorrow because I will also be out of town tomorrow. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when more episodes just like this go live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And check out the First Pitch newsletter. Link for that bad boy is in the description. And it is free to subscribe and receive it in your email inbox every single weekday, though we do appreciate any and all paid subscribers as they help keep the bills on around here. And we're going to talk about the Phillies. It's Thursday. It's Phillies Day. I'm going to go solo, and I'm going to try my best to keep it to not be about Rob Thompson. And we've also I also want to talk about a couple of other things that have stood out to me over the past couple of years is teams – skirting their way around rules. And I'm going to touch on two in particular as far as in-game rules that teams are skirting around. And that's kind of what today's edition of the newsletter was about as well. But I still want to talk about it because there was one yesterday that was just brand new to me. And it may have happened before in Major League Baseball. I've never seen it. But there needs to be a kibosh put on it quick, fast, and in a hurry. But first, of course, as always, we are going to look at the scores from yesterday, and the MajorLeagueBaseball.com site is not working properly. So I don't have the pitchers. All I can see are the scores for each team and their records now. So not much I can do other than tell y'all what the final scores were today. And in the first game of the day, the Atlanta Braves took down the St. Louis Cardinals 4-1. Braves are now 10-14. Cardinals move to 10-15. Detroit Tigers take down the Padres. Detroit won 6-0. They are now 15-10. Padres fall to 17-8. Mets beat the Phillies in extras. Mets won 4-3 to complete the sweep. Mets are now 18-7. Philadelphia Phillies fall to 13-12. More on that in a bit. Drew's Reds won to refrain from being swept. They won 5-2. They are now 12-13. Marlins fall to 11-13. Yankees at the Guardians. Yankees won 5-1. I'm pretty sure also to keep from being swept, unless they play today. I'm not sure. But the Yankees move to 15-10. Guardians fall to 14-10. Washington beat the Orioles 4-3. Washington moves to 11-13. Baltimore falls to 9-14. And real quick on that one, James Wood hit a home run in that game, and it was not an opposite field home run. He pulled a home run for the first time this year, regular season or spring training. I will take the blame for that, as I did bring that up yesterday. Don't sleep on the Nationals. Seattle Mariners beat the Boston Red Sox 8-5. I do have water today, by the way, since I'm riding solo. Mariners are now 13-11. Red Sox fall to 14-12. Dodgers at the Cubs. Cubs beat the Dodgers again, man. Cubs won 7-6. Excuse me. Cubs move to 16-10. Dodgers fall to 16-9. Cubs are serious this year. Cubs are serious this year. They're going to be scary all year long. Toronto Blue Jays at the Astros. Astros win 3-1. They move to 13-11. Blue Jays fall to 12-13. White Sox at the Twins. Twins win 6-3. Twins are now 9-15. White Sox are 5-19. Not for certain, but at least 80% of the White Sox's? The Chicago White Sox's 5 wins came against the Red Sox. So apparently that's the only team they can beat. Pirates beat the Angels 3-0. Pirates are now 10-15. Angels fall to 11-12. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Yeah. Rays at Diamondbacks. Rays won 7-6. They are now 10-14. Diamondbacks fall to 14-10. Giants beat the Brewers 4-2. To move to 16-9, Brewers fall to 13-12. Athletics beat the Rangers 5-2 to move to 11-13. Rangers fall to 14-10. And the Rockies Royals game was postponed. So we'll get to today's games a little bit later. Not as many games on the docket today. And I'm going to try to get through this podcast as best I can. It's going to be a lot longer for me than it's going to be for y'all, because I'm going to have to pause a few times, I am sure. This post-nasal drip, man, it ain't no fun. And it has just been hell for the past week. And it's really not great, because I'm going out of town for my mother-in-law's wedding. And I'm supposed to be singing in the wedding. So it's not going to be, I need to get over this, because the wedding in 2 days. But it's not fun, man. It's not fun. But that was the slate of games for yesterday. And, you know, before we get into the Phillies, because I do want to talk about the Phillies, and yes, I'm going to try and refrain from making it all about Rob Thompson today. But before we get into the Phillies, there's something else I wanted to touch on today, and that's a couple of rules, a couple of in-game rules. Well, one's not necessarily a rule, but there is ways that teams are skirting around things, and it's kind of crazy that they're getting away with it, because it's blatantly obvious that they're doing these things in order to skirt around bad things happening to their team in game. And the first of those is PitchCom. And I know that if you've watched a baseball game, since PitchCom has been implemented, and you know, with the pitch clock as well, there's pretty frequently, there's always the case of a pitcher going, oh man, my pitch comm's not working. What? And it always just happens to be as the pitch clock is approaching zero and they're about to give the batter a free ball. And it's always crazy to me how that's always the case, that it never happens at the beginning of the pitch clock. It's always as the pitch clock is approaching zero. And, you know, there's a reason for that. And that reason is because it's not that it's not working. It's that the pitcher and catcher took too long to come to an agreement on a pitch. And so then they act like their pitch comm isn't working. And then when the umpire calls time for them to check their pitch comm, they take it out, they bang it on their hand, like pretend this is pitch comm, this little thing I play with every single time we're podcasting. And they take this out, they bang it on their hand, they bang it on their shoulder, their body, their chest, and then, oh, it's working now. Imagine that. And then they just continue on like nothing happened. And it is so blatantly obvious that that's not the case, that it's just not working. And it's stupid that they're getting away with that every single time that it happens. Nothing. They just continue on. Umpires don't say nothing. And there's an easy fix for it. And the fix is, if they say the pitch comm isn't working, they have to leave it on. Let the umpire come up to them. Then they take it off without shaking it, without banging it, nothing. They take it off, hand it to the umpire. The umpire checks it. They don't have to stick it all the way in their ear. Speakers work outside of your ear. You can hold it close to your ear so you're not like putting somebody else's earwax in your ear. Then the umpire checks it and sees if it is actually not working. If it's actually not working, cool. Give them time, change it, do what they need to do to get it working. If it is working, batter gets a free base. Doesn't matter what the count is. It could be an 0-0 count. Batter at the plate, go to first. Because they want to speed up the game. The whole reason for the pitch clock is to speed up the game, and these teams are using this as a reason to skirt around giving a batter a free ball. If you want to speed up the game, go to first. Their pitch comm is working fine. You go on to first. I just got here. It's a 0-0 count. I want to hit a home run. Nope. They're cheating. Go on to first. They're trying to skirt around the rules. And another reason why it is so blatantly obvious that it's not the case that the pitch comm isn't working is that I have watched well over 100 Philadelphia Phillies games over the last year. I can count on one hand the amount of times a Philadelphia Phillies pitcher has said, oh man, my pitch comm's not working, with JT Realmuto behind the plate. You want to know how many that is? Here's my one hand. Zero. Because the pitcher doesn't shake off JT Realmuto. It doesn't take them too long to come to an agreement on a pitch, because they're going to go with what JT Realmuto calls. Because even though he's not as good offensively as he once was, now that he's old, in terms of catchers, he's still one of the best catchers defensively and one of the best catchers at calling a game. So it's so blatantly obvious that the pitch comm is fine. They're just trying to keep from having an automatic ball, whether that would give the batter a walk, put the batter in a more favorable pitch count for the at-bat. It's just, it's stupid that this has gone on for so long. And it's been frustrating for me watching games for as long as it's been a thing. From the beginning, it was never, oh, the pitch comm's not working. It doesn't work like that. And so it's so blatantly obvious, and it's such an easy fix. And then, of course, the thing that happened yesterday, which, again, it may have happened in baseball before. I personally have never seen it. I've seen it happen in other sports. It happens in the NBA practically every 30 seconds. It happens in football pretty frequently. It's happened in college football, and specifically the SEC, so much that they have made a rule against it. And Lane Kiffin is like kicking and screaming because of this rule. And it's faking an injury, again, to skirt around something detrimental happening to your team. So we're going to go back to the 10th inning of yesterday's Phillies-Mets game. And there was a runner on first. It was Nick Castellanos. Nick Castellanos was on first. Edwin Diaz was in his second inning of pitching of relief in the 10th inning. The Phillies had already taken a one-run lead on Castellanos' single. And after Castellanos singled, Edwin Diaz stepped off three times and you only get two. And so after the third, the umpires were like, all right, it's a balk. But then Edwin Diaz was like, oh no, I'm hurt. And so the trainers came out and looked at him. They removed him from the game, put in Max Kranick. That's fine. It came out after the game that Edwin Diaz was having left hip cramps. Left hip cramping is why he was removed from the game. And they took the balk away because he was hurt. And in the long run, the next batter, JT Realmuto, walked anyway. So Nick Castellanos got to second anyway, and it proved to be moot. So it's not having sour grapes about the situation. It's that the situation was blatantly not a thing. He was not hurt. He's just dumb and stepped off three times and then realized, oh crap, I stepped off three times. That's a balk. Now Nick Castellanos gets to go to second base for free. And he, oh, I'm hurt. And so they pulled him out of the game with left hip cramping. I guarantee he's going to be fine. He's not going on the injured list. And he is going to make an appearance. If he doesn't make an appearance in tomorrow's game for the Mets, they don't play today. If he doesn't make an appearance in tomorrow's game for the Mets, he will make an appearance in Saturday's game for the Mets, because he is perfectly fine. There was no injury. It was a, oh crap, I just balked. Maybe we can get the balk taken away if I'm hurt. And they, in fact, got the balk taken away. And so for that, again, easy fix to this. Keep the balk. Pitcher or position player. I've never seen a position player fake an injury. I don't know what that would help. But pitcher has to leave the game, as he did. He did leave the game. But the pitcher has to be placed immediately. As soon as the game is over, the pitcher has to be placed on the 15-day injured list. If that is going to be the case, immediately. Placed on the 15-day injured list. If you are doing something that is going to try to help, to try to keep your team from having something bad happening to it, as in a balk, immediately on the 15-day injured list. You don't play for 2 weeks. You're hurt, right? That's fine. You shouldn't have a problem with being placed on the 15-day injured list. You're hurt. So what's the problem? It's just, it's so stupid that these things are blatantly done as workarounds and loopholes to rules. And teams are just allowed to get away with it. It's just, it's dumb. It makes no sense. Rules are there for a reason. If you don't want to abide by the rules, don't participate. Easy enough. And it's just, it's dumb, man. It's dumb and it's frustrating. And again, it became moot anyway, so it's not sour grapes. It's just follow the rules. If you're going to break the rules, get punished for it. And they're blatantly doing things to skirt around rules. And it's just, it's stupid. But, you know, we're going to now talk about the Philadelphia Phillies. And because it is Thursday, it's Phillies Day. And the Phillies are coming off of being swept by those same New York Mets. And over the course of a 162-game season, you put these rosters next to each other on paper. I don't care what just happened in the three games in Queens. Over the course of a full 162-game season, you put these rosters next to each other on paper, the Philadelphia Phillies still have the better roster. And it's not biased. It's the truth. It's fact. It's there's no denying it. And so it's not great what the Phillies are going through right now, the struggles that they're having. But, you know, there's good and there's bad. And they've walked 108 times while only striking out 206 times. So they've really cut down on their strikeouts a lot this year compared to last year. And while that's good, it's also seen their power take a pretty big hit because, you know, they only have 21 home runs right now, 104 RBI. 21 home runs, and the majority of those come from the normal guys you expect to hit home runs. Schwarber has 7, Harper has 5. But what has been working of late, for the most part offensively, has been having Bryson Stott bat leadoff. And Bryson Stott has, before this year, before this stint in the leadoff position over the past week plus, he really hasn't been a good leadoff hitter, but he has been of late. And he's, so far this year, he's batting 298, 362, 440 with a 124 OPS plus. And most of that success has come from the leadoff spot. And then after Stott, Turner has been batting second. And, you know, he's trash as usual. He's got an 89 OPS plus, batting 247, 343, 326. But his slug is less than his own base percentage. God. But it's just, there's so many different people that can bat second in the lineup. Like Johan Rojas, for instance, is batting 317, 364, 366 with a 106 OPS plus, and he has been one of the better hitters in the lineup for the past week plus, really, ever since, you know, he's been playing every day because he's a guy who should be playing every day, which is something I've been banging the drum for well over a year now, because you don't need every single batter in your lineup to be a world beater. You need some guys who are elite defensively, and that's what Johan Rojas is in center field. He's elite defensively. So any offensive production that he gives you is just a major plus to what he gives you on the defensive side of the ball. And Trey Turner is not good at either of those things. He's not good offensively or defensively. Again, he has been better defensively this year than in years past. But he's not a guy that you have batting second with the decline offensively that he's had over the past few years of his career. You should be batting a guy like Johan Rojas second with what he is capable of doing. He's as fast, if not faster, than Trey Turner. So if it's a speed thing, moot. Go to Johan Rojas. If it's a batting thing, Johan Rojas is the better hitter than Trey Turner. So he might not have the power that he might not have 10 to 15 home runs like Trey Turner can give you. But again, you don't have to have everybody doing that. And you don't have to have everybody doing that at the top of the lineup. If you have Bryson Stott and Johan Rojas batting one and two, there's a really good chance you got two batters on for Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber at three and four. And it's just it's there's going to be some Rob Thompson because there's really no skirting around it. It's just idiotic lineup construction that just makes no sense. And something else that makes no sense is the fact that Max Kepler is being forced into this everyday starting role, but then at the same time he's not going to be starting against lefties. And Nick Castellanos is being forced into this everyday starting role, and he is starting every day against righties and lefties, but he doesn't hit righties. And guess what? This show is all about easy fixes today. There's an easy fix. Platoon Nick Castellanos and Max Kepler, problem solved. Because Max Kepler hits righties pretty well. He's a left-handed batter. He hits righties pretty well. Nick Castellanos, a right-handed batter, he hits lefties very well. And if you platoon those two guys, Max Kepler is pretty good on defense, so you have a good defensive right fielder more days than not over Nick Castellanos, who is one of the worst defensive outfielders in baseball, especially throughout his tenure with the Philadelphia Phillies. You give Max Kepler more playing time against, you know, the right-handed pitchers. The defense in the outfield is improved because at that point, then Brandon Marsh gets to play every day when he's back healthy and off the IL. And while he has had a slow start to the year, this is not who Brandon Marsh is. He's had a slow start to the year. Over the past couple of years, he's been one of the better hitters for the Phillies. His OPS plus is pretty decent for a guy who does not have to be a world beater. And then on days against right-handed pitching, your outfield alignment is Brandon Marsh in left, Johan Rojas in center, Max Kepler in right. That's one of the best defensive outfields in baseball. You just, without a doubt, if it's a top three defensive outfield in baseball with that alignment. And it just, it doesn't make sense to me that these things aren't considered because of who the manager is and his ignorance. And I expect the offense to get a lot better. The offense as a whole has a 102 OPS plus. They haven't been great, but they also haven't been as bad as it may seem. They just need to string together hits a little bit more, and it all comes down to lineup construction. If the lineup was constructed differently and in a better way, they would string together those hits more. Like, an ideal lineup, if you're not going to go with Ryan Spader's, put your best hitter first, which I agree with Ryan Spader, you should put your best hitter first. Bryce Harper should be batting leadoff. But if you're not going to do that and you're going to go with Bryson Stott in the leadoff spot, I don't have an issue with Bryson Stott in the leadoff spot. It should be Bryson Stott, Johan Rojas, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber as your 1-4. Alec Bohm, 5. So there's not three lefties back-to-back. Max Kepler, 6. Trey Turner, 7. Brandon Marsh, 8. JT Realmuto, 9. And if you do it in that way, it puts these guys, all of these guys, in a better position to be successful at the plate and to score more runs. And the team would score 5 runs a game easily, if not more than that. And it's just, it's because that is an optimal, not the most optimal, but a optimal lineup for this team and the way that it's constructed. And all of these guys would have so much more success. And, of course, Alec Bohm is turning it around. He's getting back to what he was doing at the first half of last year. And honestly, I would start Edmundo Sosa over Trey Turner because of how bad Trey Turner is. But I know that's not going to happen because the sunk cost fallacy exists and is a thing. and the Phillies say, oh, well, we're paying Trey Turner this much money. There's no sense in putting him on the bench. It's stupid. But, and then, of course, the pitching rotation. The rotation's fine. It's still one of the best in baseball. Despite Aaron Nola's ERA, he has a 4.88 FIP. And he's been better in his outings with JT Realmuto behind the plate than he has been with Rafael Marchand. Because, again, JT Realmuto is one of the best defensive catchers, one of the best catchers at calling the game in baseball. But, and his ERA should not be as bad as it is because he should not have given up as many runs. There should not have been as many runs on his line as there are because his last start was the fault of Rob Thompson. So, you know, because he left him in there at inning too long and then decided to go to the pen with two runners on base. Stupid. And, of course, that brings us to the bullpen, who, again, would be far better than they are if they were given clean innings more often. You can't expect a reliever to come in, excuse me, with a runner on base, especially in scoring position, and less than two outs, and not give up the run. More often than not, they're going to give up the run. And that is where most of these runs come from, is because they don't come in at the beginning of the inning. When they do come in at the beginning of the inning, look at what Joe Ross did the other day. He came in after Christian Sanchez left after two innings. Joe Ross pitched three clean innings, one hit. One hit over the three innings. Did not allow a run. Jordan Romano came in for the sixth clean inning. Didn't give up a run. It's almost like if you give these guys clean innings, they could pitch a lot better than they do when they don't get clean innings to start their outing. And it's just, it's ignorant. It's stupid. And there is just so much that can be done differently that would put this team in such a better position to win. And this is why I get so frustrated with the people that try to defend Rob Thompson, because they just don't understand. They're like, oh no, the guys need to, the players need to perform better. And here's the thing. If they were put in a position to perform better, they would perform better, but they're not put in a position to perform better. They're put in sometimes the worst position possible because Rob Thompson is freaking stupid and he has no clue what he's doing. He has no baseball feel whatsoever. He doesn't know anything about baseball, and it is so blatantly obvious game after game after game that he's not fit for the role, because he's putting these guys in positions to fail. These guys are being put in position to fail. They are not being put into position to succeed. And it just makes no sense. It makes no sense that somebody who has never played the game at the major league level has a better understanding of the major league game than somebody who has been a manager of a major league team for almost 3 years now. So what if he has a winning record? If he didn't have a winning record, we'd have much bigger problems because of the roster that he has been given. Gabe Kapler would have a winning record if he had this roster. Like, people want to keep saying Rob Thompson's the best manager that the Philadelphia Phillies have had since Charlie Manuel. No, Rob Thompson's had the best roster that the Phillies have had since Charlie Manuel. And that's what people don't understand. And that's what just makes no sense. Regular season wins and losses don't mean anything when you lose your last game of the year because of your manager. Again, managers can't win ball games, but they sure as hell can lose them. And Rob Thompson does a lot of that for the Philadelphia Phillies on a regular and consistent basis with his dumbassery and just inability to put the team in a position to succeed. And it's just stupid. And he is not the guy to be leading a World Series caliber roster. World Series caliber roster. Aaron Boone is a better manager than Rob Thompson. Aaron Boone had a much worse roster than the Philadelphia Phillies have and had last year and made it to the World Series. He lost in the World Series, but he still made it there. Dave Roberts is a better manager than Rob Thompson. on paper, the rosters are pretty even. There might be an edge one way or another. But Dave Roberts isn't a good manager. He has a good roster. And he makes far less mistakes than Rob Thompson does. And far less dumbass moves that Rob Thompson makes. So it's the Philadelphia Phillies are only going to go as far as Rob Thompson will allow them to go. But he needs to step out of the way. If he is going to continue to be the manager, he needs to get out of the way. Stop holding the team back. Stop putting the team in positions for failure. Be the manager. Let somebody else make the decisions. Let somebody else do the lineup. Just, you can be the face. That's fine if that's what you want to do. You can sit there on your hands and be like, oh, let's all be happy. Oh, we're going to turn it around. We got to be happy. Vibes. The vibes are high. We got good vibes over here. We might be losing, but we got good vibes. We might be a World Series roster, and we're 13-12, but we got good vibes. And that's all that matters. We're just here to have a good time because I'm a fucking idiot. It's stupid. And he is not fit to be a major league manager. And that's all I got to say about that. Today's slate of games, short slate. It is Thursday. A lot of teams have off. 1:10 p.m. Eastern, White Sox at the Twins. 5-19, White Sox look to beat the 9-15 Twins. 25 minutes later, Mariners at the Red Sox. Mariners are 13-11. Red Sox are 14-12. 2 hours later, Brewers at the Giants. Brewers look to move to 14-12. Giants look to move to 17-9. 3 hours after that, Orioles at the Nationals. Orioles look to move to 10-14. Nationals look to move to 12-13. Another 3 hours later, Pirates at the Angels. Pirates look to move to 11-15. Angels look to move to 12-12. 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Rays at the Diamondbacks. Rays look to move to 11-14. Diamondbacks look to move to 15-10. 20 minutes later, 10:05 p.m. Eastern. Excuse me. Rangers at the Athletics. Rangers look to move to 15-10. Athletics look to move to 12-13. And then, of course, a doubleheader. They have them over here instead of in where they normally should go. So that's why this one's getting read last. But does look like it's a single-entry doubleheader because Game 2 does not have a time. 2:10 p.m. Eastern for the first game. Rockies at the Royals. And then, of course, Game 2. Both teams look to add 2 wins to their total. Thank you for joining us on the First Pitch Podcast today, your daily source of baseball talk. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. Check out the First Pitch newsletter. Link for that is in the description. It is free to subscribe and receive it in your email inbox every single weekday morning, though we do appreciate any and all paid subscribers as they help keep the bills on around here. There will be no show tomorrow. Again, Drew and I will be out of town. We will be back on Monday. So until then, this has been First Pitch.